Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Amen. Well, I am so excited to be with you in this way on this Easter Sunday. I really wish we could be together in one place. We've had so many powerful Easter Sunday services together, times of celebration and rejoicing. But listen, church, I believe that this doesn't have to be any less powerful. The Word of God is going to go out. We have sung. We're going to continue to sing. And I just pray that this message comes to your heart in a way that fills you with great hope. So before we jump into our passage, as I do often, I want to ask you a question to get your minds thinking. Here's the question I want to start off with today. When bad things happen in your life, when hardships and trials and difficulties come your way, here's my question. What do you believe? What do you believe in your heart? When you experience a tragedy, when a hardship has come upon you, when you experience maybe moments of great disappointment, maybe you're in that situation right now today on this Easter Sunday. Here's the question. When those things happen in your life, what do you believe? Such an important question, church. Let me ask it another way, and we're going to unpack a little bit from the scriptures to help illuminate and answer that question for us, bringing tremendous hope into our hearts, into our homes today. Let me ask it another way. When you receive bad news, or when there's a series of unfavorable circumstances that begin to unfold in your life, again, maybe that's happening to you today in this season of life, what do you believe? Now, it's such a significant question to ask because our most common responses are always directly indicative of what we believe. Our response to the hardship, our response to the difficulty, our response to the tragedy, in the midst of the hard things we may be facing, our response to those things are always directly indicative of what we believe. Now, here's what I want us to see this Easter Sunday morning. I want us to understand this, that the meaning of life, the existence of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, huge, huge things. What we believe about these things will impact how we respond to things that unfold in our lives. They will either propel us towards hope. What we believe in the midst of those circumstances will either propel us towards hope or will propel us towards a despair. And again, maybe you're watching this, maybe you're listening to this right now, and you are experiencing despair or depression or a hard situation in your life has caused you to feel defeated or disappointed today. Here's my question for you. What do you believe? Because what you believe is going to be impacting directly how we respond to certain situations that come up in our lives. I want you to know that for every single person watching right now today, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection truth of Jesus Christ will offer true hope for you today, whatever situation you find yourself in. I want to show it to you from God's Word, a passage of Scripture that I've preached on before, a passage of Scripture that I believe will be so helpful for us today in the climate, in the world that we live in. I want you to take your Bibles right now and turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 17 to 26, and we're going to look at a situation that Jesus is in, that his disciples are in, that others are in, where Jesus speaks tremendous hope, and the truth that Jesus speaks I believe and trust will bring hope to us today. So John chapter 11, verses 17 to 26. Let's look at it in our Bibles together. This is what the Word of God says. It says this: "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Verse 18, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?'" Do you believe this? Loved ones, what we believe matters. What we believe matters, and it will impact directly how we respond to the things that we face in our lives. I want to share with you on this Easter Sunday morning 3 truths from God's Word. Truth is so important in hard times to bring us hope. 3 truths that I must believe in order to find unshakable hope. Anyone need hope this morning? Anyone need unshakable hope? Well, I want you to make note of this. Truth number one that I must believe. Write this down. God always has a plan. 3 truths I must believe in order to find unshakable hope. I must believe. Truth number one, God always has a plan. I want you to look at verses 17 to 19 again. We're going to unpack it. "Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother." Really important for us to understand what's going on in this passage. So before we jump in, let's get a bit of the context so you're not in the dark about the story. In John chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, Jesus receives news that his dear friend Lazarus was sick and near death. And it's important for us to understand that Jesus loved Lazarus. He wasn't indifferent towards Lazarus. He, in fact, loved him very much. Now, what we'd expect upon hearing the news is that Jesus would drop everything he was doing to rush to go see Lazarus because he loved him. But the interesting thing is this. The Bible tells us that Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. That's an important detail. This is interesting because the Bible says that Jesus was across the Jordan. That means that he was about a 1-day journey from Bethany where Lazarus was. So something's not quite adding up here. Jesus loves Lazarus. Jesus has the power to heal Lazarus. Jesus, in fact, says that he will save Lazarus, but Jesus doesn't go to Lazarus right away. In fact, the Bible tells us he delays for 2 full days and has 1 day of travel time ahead of him. What is going on here in this passage? Something is not quite adding up. I'll tell you what's going on here. So important for us to see. What's going on here? Jesus Christ has a plan. Jesus always has a plan. I want you to notice verse 17 again. Look at it in your Bibles. It says this: "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb already for 4 days. Now, Lazarus probably died while the messenger was bringing the news to Jesus. It took 1 day for the messenger to get the news to Jesus. Then Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days, the Bible says. Then it took Jesus 1 more day in addition to get to Bethany. That makes 4 days. Let's consider what's going on here in this passage of Scripture. Could Jesus have prevented the death of Lazarus? The answer is yes. Of course, he's Jesus, he's God. He could do anything. Could Jesus have healed Lazarus from where he was? For sure. The answer is yes, because again, Jesus is God. He could do anything. So we need to ask the question, why in the world did Jesus allow Lazarus to die? And why did Jesus take so long to get to Bethany, knowing the urgency of the situation? Here's the answer. Jesus Christ has a plan. Jesus always has a plan. And while no one in the situation understands what Jesus is doing in the moment, he remains in full control the entire time. This is an important truth for us to know and believe, specifically in the days that we are living in, loved ones, that Jesus Christ, that God himself, always has a plan. Now, it's kind of like when you're watching a movie, but you haven't figured out yet, you haven't decided yet if you like the movie or not. You decide that at the very end, when all of the confusion of the movie, all of the subplots of the movie, all of the twists and turns of the movie finally merge together to culminate in an amazing ending, where in that very moment, at the very end, everything begins to make sense and you think to yourself, that was an awesome movie. Loved ones, did you know that that's how life is so often? That's in fact what we're seeing unfold in this passage of scripture that's in front of us. That's how life is. And when we fail to believe that there's a God who is alive, this is Easter, we need to believe this. When we fail to believe that there's a God who is alive and active in our lives, that he loves us, that he always has a plan, our lives can so easily become full of despair and grief because we don't understand what's happening so often in our lives. Loved ones, here's my question. In the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of our inability to gather together on Easter of all Sundays, here's my question for you, loved ones. What do you believe? What are you believing? We need to believe that God always has a plan. We're seeing it unfold in our passage of scripture. But I want to show you two things specifically about the plans of God that we need to see and we need to believe. And that if we believe these things, we will be filled with hope in the midst of hard situations, even the hard situation we find ourselves in as a society, as a city, as a country, as a world today. What I need to know about God's plans, so important. Write this down. Number one, God's plans are always for his glory. God's plans are always for his glory. I want you to notice on the screen, the wider context of John 11, verses 3-4 says this. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, listen, this illness does not lead to death. Watch this. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So in verses 3-4, Jesus says that Lazarus will not die. And in verse 17, we're told not only did Lazarus die, but he's been dead for 4 days. Now, this is an important and sovereignly orchestrated moment and situation and detail. You see, that in that time, the Jews believed that when someone died, that their soul would hover over the body for 3 days after death, hoping to re-enter it. Jesus' arrival time is perfectly planned and brilliantly strategic. Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but no one knew that. And to ensure that his glory is maximized, to ensure that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that it is Jesus that has done this, to ensure that Jesus gets the glory so that he can show people who he really is and more of his divine purpose, Jesus makes sure that his timing is just right and that his glory is maximized. Something you need to understand about God's plans, whether we understand it or not in the moment, God's plans are always for his glory. I want you to notice on the screen what John Piper said. So good. John Piper once asked the following on the screen. He said this, "Do you love the thought that all creation exists to display the glory of God? Do you love the truth that all of history is designed by God to one day be a completed canvas that displays in the best way possible the greatness and beauty of God? This is why God created the universe. This is why he ordained history. This is why he sent his son. This is why you exist forever to see and savor and show the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You know, loved ones, there are so many questions these days being put out there. So many questions surrounding the coronavirus. Questions like, is this the judgment of God? Is this the discipline of God? Is this the end of the world? So many questions all over the world about this virus that has hit the world and become a pandemic. And you know what, loved ones? I don't know the answers to all these questions. But I do know this, that this will be for God's glory. That God always has a plan, that how it's impacted you in your life will be for God's glory. Because, loved ones, what I'm trying to show you from this passage of scripture is this, to give you hope on this Easter Sunday is this, God always has a plan. And listen, his plans are always for his glory. Awesome. Awesome. Embrace that. Receive that. Secondly, I want to show you something else. Not only are God's plans always for his glory, watch this now. God's plans are, write this down, are always for my good. Someone needs to hear that today. God's plans are not only always for his glory, but someone needs to hear this, that God's plans are always for my good. On the screen, a little bit more from the wider context, I want you to notice John 11, 14 to 15. It says this, "Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died.'" Watch this. "And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." This is an amazing moment. So Jesus says to his disciples, "Lazarus has fallen asleep." And they say, "Well, if he's sleeping, then surely he's going to wake up again. We don't need to go to him." And Jesus tells them plainly in the verse we just read, no, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. And then he says, "And I'm glad that I wasn't there." What exactly is going on here? Well, Jesus is saying this not to be insensitive. He's not happy about the death of Lazarus. This is important. What Jesus is saying here is this, that he's planning to use the raising of Lazarus to strengthen the faith of the disciples. That Jesus is planning to use the raising of Lazarus to do far more than he would have been able to do if he simply healed Lazarus from his sickness. We can't miss how deep and profound this moment is, and this moment particularly in the mind of Christ is. Listen, Jesus is allowing something painful, so important here. Jesus is allowing something painful so that he can accomplish something of much greater value in the life of his disciples and those that will be watching. This is so often how God works in our lives, that he always has a plan. His plan is always for his glory. And his plans are always for our good. I don't know the reason why bad things are happening to you. I just know this, that if bad things are happening to you, if I find myself in a situation where bad things are happening to me, if I'm in a situation that seems hopeless, that is full of despair, I can know this according to the scriptures, that God always has a plan. Nothing takes him by surprise. That's a truth to give me hope, that his plans are always for his glory. He's going to maximize his glory in it, and that God's plans are always for my good. And here's the truth you have to believe, you who find yourself in a situation that is hard maybe today. That so often God allows moments of pain in our lives so that he can accomplish a greater, more glorious purpose, something that, listen, is good for us, something that is good for you, good for your heart, good in ways you don't know about right now, but it's so good, loved ones. God loves you. And if you need hope on this Easter Sunday, take refuge in this truth and find hope in this, that God always has a plan. His plans are always for his glory, and his plans are always for our good. Three truths, loved ones, that we must believe to find unshakable hope. Truth number one, God always has a plan. Second truth I want you to see is this, write this down. God's timing is always perfect. So, so good for us to see and believe. God's timing is always perfect. Notice verse 20 to 21 now in your Bibles, it says this. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So Jesus arrives and Martha runs out to meet him. And out of her mouth comes the understandable expression of her heart. Jesus, if you had only been here. Jesus, if you had only been here, everything would be okay. Jesus, if you had only come on time, then my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you had only been here in the right time. But Jesus, now it's too late. This is the sentiment of Martha's heart. If you had only been here, but now it's too late. And maybe you feel that way today. Maybe on this Easter Sunday morning, you're not full of a celebration. You're full of discouragement and disillusionment because in your life, you feel like this global pandemic perhaps has been particularly bad news for you. Maybe you're listening and watching and you're feeling the pressure. Maybe you've gotten laid off, deemed to be a non-essential service. Things are hard enough before all of this happened. And now you feel like it's too late. Your job in the tomb for 4 days. And maybe you've felt alone and isolated even before all of this happened. And now more than ever, hopes for connection and relationships seem dashed. It seems like those hopes are in the tomb for 4 days, beyond reach, beyond grasp, and you feel like it's too late. Loved ones, in an unprecedented way, all around the world, people everywhere are experiencing similar kinds of feelings of despair and hopelessness. But what we're about to see, loved ones, is that no situation, no hardship, no circumstance, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how disillusioning it feels, no situation, no matter how hopeless it feels, is outside of the reach and grasp of Jesus Christ to glorify himself, to fulfill his plan in, to accomplish his good purpose in. God always has a plan. And listen, loved ones, his timing is always perfect. In fact, God will allow our hearts so often to be emptied completely so that he can show us undeniably that he is never too early. He's never too late. But this is for someone today. Jesus Christ is always on time. He's always on time, ready to pour an abundance of hope into our hearts. And that's what he's ready to do for you and so many today on this Easter Sunday. If we can believe these truths, God always has a plan. His plans are always for his glory. His plans are always for my good. And God's timing is always perfect in my life, even when I don't understand, even when it seems to me like it's just too late. God's timing, loved ones, is always perfect. Now, I wonder if there is anyone right now who the Spirit of God is speaking to, strengthening you in that truth and in that hope, in the fact that he has a plan for the situation you're in, and nothing is taking him by surprise in terms of the things you are facing. And you may be sitting there at home in self-isolation, in quarantine. You think to yourself, what is going on here? It seems like any hopes that I had, it's just out of my grasp. It's too late. God's timing, loved ones, is perfect. It was perfect in this scenario, and it's perfect in our lives every single day, no matter what we are facing. Hope, loved ones, will rise up as we believe these truths. He always has a plan, and his timing is always perfect. Finally, I want to leave you with this hope on this Easter Sunday. It's this, and I pray it gives you so much hope. God always has a plan. His timing is always perfect. Finally, write this down. God's purpose is always better. God's purpose is always better. I want you to look at verse 22 now. It says this, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. This is Martha speaking to Jesus here. Martha shows a glimpse of her faith in Jesus Christ. She knows that her confidence can be placed in Jesus. She shows that her confidence that God can bring something good even out of this devastating circumstance. She shows a glimpse of that confidence, but Jesus wants to challenge Martha's abstract belief in a final resurrection and move her towards genuine belief in her. Notice verses 23 to 24 now. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, watch this, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." The Jews believed in an end time resurrection of the body, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. And what Jesus is about to do next is reveal himself as the God who has power and authority over death itself. Awesome. That's what we are celebrating here today. What Jesus is about to do is reveal the reason for his seemingly delay in coming. Get ready, because Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. But listen, Jesus wasn't just interested in showing that he had power to raise a physically dead person to life. Jesus is about to perform this miracle in order to illustrate a greater purpose. God's purposes are always better than what we want him to do, what we think he should do, what we think is best, loved ones. I want you to notice verses 23 to 26. Now, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, watch this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Here's the question. Do you believe this? Jesus looks at them and says, "Do you believe this?" And I'm just coming to you as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ to ask you today, do you believe this? You see, Jesus hasn't just come to simply heal those that are physically sick and to raise the physically dead. The primary purpose, the infinitely greater purpose and plan of the Lord Jesus Christ was to live a perfect life, to die a substitutionary death on your behalf, on my behalf, to pay the penalty for our sins and to be resurrected from the grave, overcoming sin and death and giving to all who believe a spiritual resurrection of their own. This is his plan. This was his plan from the beginning. This was his plan in coming to earth to raise spiritually dead people to new life. Do you believe that Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life? He is, loved ones. This is the entire point. This was his plan. And this is what we celebrate today. And if you're watching this today, and if you're wishing your situation would change today, or you're drowning in the disappointment of COVID-19 or some other despair or some other disappointment, or you're struggling with isolation right now and feelings of hopelessness, loved ones, remember that the hope you need today is not necessarily in your circumstances changing. That's so important for us to understand. But our hope today is rooted in, it must be found in, what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Where you're at today, in your living room or in your bedroom or streaming in your kitchen or wherever you find yourself, do you believe this? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and because of his death and resurrection, he has solved for the worst case scenario. He has overcome sin and death, so that all who would put their faith and trust in him need not fear death or COVID-19 or any other disaster that comes upon us. Our hope is not found in the way our circumstances go. Our hope is found in this. Jesus Christ has overcome and conquered death. That is what we celebrate here on this Easter Sunday. This is everything for us. And oh, how I pray that it becomes everything for you, maybe for the first time today. Now, he who believes in me, Jesus said, will never die. This means that no matter what happens to us in this life, oh, how much hope there is in this truth, loved ones, embrace it. This means that no matter what happens to us in this life, for the Christian, for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, death has been defeated. And loved ones, this is our hope. This is what causes us to experience joy in the midst of tragedy. Not physical healing necessarily, not a physical resurrection necessarily, not all our circumstances changing necessarily, but that the resurrection of Jesus Christ secures for all who believe everlasting life. That is where hope is found. Where you are today, God always has a plan. Where you are today, you got to believe this. God's timing is always perfect. Where you are today, you got to believe this, that God's purposes are always better. Loved ones, what could God be doing globally right now in the midst of this global pandemic? One thing I know for sure, while I don't have all the answers, one thing I know for sure, what could God be doing in all of this? What could God be doing right now as we all find ourselves locked in our homes in the midst of this pandemic? What could God be doing? Well, one thing I know for sure he wants to do based on the authority of his word is this: wake people up to this reality. Maybe you're being awakened to it right now. That one day, this life that we live will be over. We're not going to be here on this planet forever. And one day, we will all stand before Jesus Christ to give an account. And for all who have placed their faith and trust in Him, that day will be a glorious day. And on that day, you will look back on this life and all the hardship and all the pain and all the sickness and all the despair and all the COVID-19. And you will look back and you will say, it was worth it that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And He gave me hope while I was there. But now my hope is finally realized. What a glorious day that will be when we stand before Jesus Christ, saved and secure. Oh, how I pray, if you're watching this right now and you have yet to put your faith and trust in Christ, that you would do that today, that many would do that today all over the world as the gospel is going out, that you would put your faith in Him today. All you got to do is this: acknowledge, I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. I've been putting my hope in my circumstances. I've been putting my hope in things of this world and they're not satisfying. They can't do it for me. I want to put my hope in Christ. You realize that you're a sinner because you've been trusting in other things. And then you put your faith, as I said, and trust in Jesus to save you. You just say, Lord, I'm done with trusting in the things of this world. I'm done with trusting in my career or my job security or my home or my health to save me, to give me joy, to give me happiness. I trust you because joy and happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment and everlasting life can only be found in Him. If you're watching this right now and you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, would you put your faith in Christ, turn from your sin, trust Him right now, and He will save you. And He will raise your spiritually dead heart to new life. He is the resurrection and the life. I'm going to pray with you in a moment, but maybe you're watching this and you're part of our church and you've given your life over to Jesus Christ and you follow Him and you love Him, but you're down these days. You're finding it hard to rejoice even right now on this Easter Sunday. Would you be reminded of these truths, loved ones? God always has a plan. He's in control. Amen. His timing is always perfect. He hasn't left us. He sees us. And His purposes, whatever they may be in the intricacies of our circumstances, His purposes are always better. What does that tell us? It tells us that we can trust Him. Oh, loved ones, let's pray together. Let's pray a prayer of hope. Let's pray a prayer of confidence. Let's put our faith in Him again in a renewed way to know that He has never left us and He remains on the throne and worthy of praise. Let's pray together. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I've been trusting in other things. Would you forgive me of my sin? I'm done chasing after other things. Lord, right now I turn from my sin and I put my faith and trust in you to save me. The saving that I need, it can only come from you. Save me and change me, and I will count the cost to follow you forever. And maybe, loved ones, as you are saved in Christ already, would you pray this prayer in your heart? Lord, I've been distracted by the events of this world and I've been discouraged, and I confess I've been full of despair. Lord, would you forgive me for taking my eyes off of you and help me to be reminded again of this truth that you have never left me. You are with me. And Lord, I look forward to that day where I will be with you forever. Oh, what a day that will be. And would you, Lord, fill us right now? I pray now on behalf of our entire church, fill us with a great sense of anticipation and hope and excitement for that day where we will be with you forever. And there will be no more tears and no more sorrow and no more suffering, just peace and just joy and just pleasures forevermore. Oh, that you would bring many, many more to be part of your kingdom, even as a result of this moment on this day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.